back, Mr. Wheatley. As that concludes our public hearings, and we will be moving on now to the aspect of our other business. First item of other business is known as Coastal Club MRRPC, and we welcome the chairman back to his official duties.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Vice Chairman Smith. And Mr. Link, do we have anything?
I wasn't sure if you've seen the revised site plan. I think you all received them as previous.
We did, and Mr. Johnson, are you?
But may I advise that this is a revised preliminary plan for phase one of Coastal Club. Contains 153 total units. The commission originally approved phase one as the final on December 19th of 2013. That 83 single-family lots and 70 townhouse units are proposed. That revised plans, the developers are requesting 20-foot front yard setbacks, 8-foot side yard setbacks, and 10-foot rear yard setbacks. That the previously approved plans were approved with 20-foot front to be the same, 10-foot side, 10-foot rear. So the difference is they would like to go 8-foot on the side yards to be able to build the units that they propose on these lots. That the proposed setbacks to the townhouse units are 20-foot front, 10-foot side on end units, and 20-foot rear yard with a 40-foot separation between buildings and a maximum building length of 165 feet. Townhouse units are the same as the previously approved plan. But the other revision is that the portion of the right-of-way for Coastal Club Drive has been widened to 98 feet, that all agency approvals have been received, and that the commission was previously provided, well, you were provided a copy of the site plan previously. That's it. And that's all I have.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I may have the floor.
Sure, yeah.
Mr. Lang, does that mean that the lot sizes have changed, or they're just wanting to put a bigger house on the same size lot?
Basically, it is the side yard setback they're requesting to go from 10 to 5.
In order to build a bigger structure?
Bigger structure. The shape of the house, pretty much.
Okay, so it's not a matter of changing the lot. It's just a matter of
the setback.
So then with
you've already seen that. You've already seen the layout, and this is this amendment is for the purpose of the 8-foot side yard.
The imprint of the house that might be
basically
built.
The imprint of the house.
So with 8-foot setbacks, we still have 16 feet between the units, between the houses.
Right.
So they just have to be a little bit quieter when they go to the bathroom. and as you stated, there's no difference in the setbacks with the townhouse units.
The townhouses are the same, 20 front, 10 side, 20-foot rear, and 40-foot separation. And the maximum length is by ordinance 165.
So that's not a requested change. That's just reiterating what was already approved.
Right, that's right.
So we're really down to two different changes. One is the setbacks on the side yard and the little bulge in the road coming in.
Yeah, technically the only place that the commission's got the authority to amend the setback is in a residential plan community. If it were a subdivision per se, it would be required to go to the Board of Adjustment.
Board of Adjustment, right. So in this situation, we're not dealing with something that the State Fire Marshal would object to in terms of the setbacks of the buildings.
This site is going to have central water with fire protection and potable water and central sewer.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, concerning the, unless anyone else on the commission has any questions, I'm prepared to make a motion, and that is, Mr. Chairman, concerning Coastal Club MRRPC revised site plan phase one off of Beaver Dam Road. My motion is for approval of the preliminary plan, revised preliminary plan.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the revised site plan of phase one Beaver Dam Road for Coastal Club MRRPC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Bay Forest Club MRRPC. Preliminary site plan, phase 5.2 marina.
Now this is a preliminary site plan for the marina amenity area. conditions of the original approval for this project states, and I quote, "No piers, docks, boat ramps, or other water-related recreational facilities shall be permitted except for the existing marina with a kayak canoe facility, which shall be operated by the developer or a homeowners or condominium association. Motorized boats shall not exceed 4 pontoon-type boats." End of quote. But this plan is for 4 future residential dwellings, restrooms, kayak and canoe storage area, a 10-foot by 130-foot boardwalk, a 10-foot by 60-foot floating dock for canoe kayak launching, excuse me, a boat lift for 4 boats, a 10-foot by 405-foot boardwalk, and a 19.5-foot by 150-foot concrete boat ramp. That a 6-foot multimodal path is also proposed. Now that the proposed setback for the single-family detached condominiums is 20-foot front and rear and 30-foot side yard setback. That the you were previously provided a copy of the plan, copy of a portion of the plan that was submitted during the public hearing process depicting the small marina location. The commission needs to determine if the proposed plan is in keeping with the intent of the conditions of approval that was placed on this application. That if you so grant preliminary approval, final approval shall be subject to the review and approval of the commission upon receipt of all agency approvals, since this project is a residential plan community. The biggest difference is that we have 4 what we thought were pontoon boat or pontoon type boats to be placed along the canal, and now we have 4 boat lifts, and I think we just need to know if those 4 boat lifts are for those pontoon boats. And if we have questions, there are parties present that can answer those questions.
If I might, Mr. Lang, how about the 4 future residential dwellings? Were they?
They were not shown on the original plan for the project.
Are they within the stated capacity and density?
The density is fine. It's not an issue. Okay. They can't exceed the number of units that were approved in the project based on the original approval.
And this being an MRRPC, this condition that you quoted in Mr. Abbott's notes about early on, the second or third sentence, was that proffered by the applicant at the public hearing, or was that a part of it?
You'd have to go back and review the record.
You'd have to review that, okay.
It was a condition of approval, and the one part was the limitation of 4 pontoon type boats.
Uh-huh.
For example, I believe it was proper. I don't know why the commission would have come up with a limitation of 4 pontoon, but it almost had to be proper.
Well, thank you, Mr. Light. Mr. Chairman, would you see that it would be okay for me to request to hear, or the commission to request to hear from a representative of the applicant? Sitting here up front?
I think that would be wise in this circumstance, because I know that some members of the public have expressed some concern about this application, so I think it would be wise to hear what the applicant has to say.
My name is Kenneth Yusup. I'm with the firm Morris and Ritchie Associates. We're the planning and engineering consultant retained by our client, Bay Forest LLC and Natelli Communities. Tom Natelli is here with me as also one of the representatives of the owner. The proposed marina site plan was shown on the original RPC for the Bay Forest Club. The general location is in phase five of the project, just to orient you. This is White Sack Road. On the left-hand side of the page, north would be generally up, and Indian River Bay would be generally to the northeast. There was an existing marina basin at the site with a number of dilapidated piers and some bulkheads and areas where people had historically moored slips. And in the original plan for the community, there was a condition that would allow for four community pontoon boats. There was also a request made by the local fire company for construction of a boat ramp that would allow for rescue boats to have better access to the bay in this general area. They didn't have a lot of other locations. And there was a small community amenity area also located there, which is essentially canoe and kayak launching racks for kayaks, as well as a small bathroom facility. Previously, we had submitted an amended site plan for that was reviewed and approved that showed four residential units generally in this location for the marina. Key elements of the marina is served by the main road network coming into the site. We have a turnaround area here with a proposed boat ramp facility in this location, along with marsh restoration. We've obtained the DENRAC and U.S. Army Corps of Engineer permits necessary for the construction of the marina facility. We have an access drive that comes up to the end of the existing peninsula, or near the end of the existing peninsula, with a boardwalk that will extend out to a pier, extending out to Collins Creek. There are some squares you can see with some kayak storage adjacent to the walkway out to the pier. And there's a small restroom facility with more kayak storage. We provided two handicap parking spots and four additional spots. There is also additional parking located along the main entrance road that would be a future expansion of parking for this area. The access to the water, to the pontoon boats, we show four slips with a boat lift, four boat lifts with slips. On the right-hand side of the pier, you'll see a gangway ramp that would go down to a floating kayak pier with kayak cradles to facilitate people getting in and out of the boats on the side. A minor amendment from the previous site plan that had been in, the bulkheading that kind of goes around the perimeter of the peninsula to stabilize and protect it from the more severe storm events, previously extended out to the end of this existing, or this proposed riprap structure here. What we've done is we've pulled the bulkhead back, created more marsh restoration, enhanced the boardwalk over the upland area to create a more natural transition into the wetland area, and enhanced the views from the other side of the creek. There's an amenity area with a bulkhead seating area, et cetera, on the south side of the existing basin. Stormwater management for the facilities has already been through an initial review by Sussex Conservation District. We're using Delaware sand builders and sheet flow to buffer as part of the stormwater management facility element. We're providing landscaping, a series of boardwalks that are timber and concrete pavers, and we've got trees planted out here to break up and enhance the landscape, as well as a pathway out to this other seating and amenity area that provides good overlooks to the wetlands. All of the facilities will be handicapped accessible. The bathroom facility is going to be constructed in two phases. The initial phase, since we don't have all of the road network constructed down to this area at this time, would be a slab with some portable restroom facilities in the interim. And then as we build out the development, this section is substantially under construction, and construction has been initiated on this section. The community and the residents of the rest of Bay Forest are very anxious get better access to the water, so the developer's facilitating a temporary road that would provide access out to the marina facility in the interim condition. As soon as the roads are built, then we'll connect the final water and sewer and do the restroom facility. Again, they're trying to get the facility open at the request of the existing residents of the community as soon as possible, and therefore we needed to come in with a site plan. Again, it will ultimately be served by public water and sewer. We provided ADA parking, and that's all I have for you this evening.
The question was, the four boat lifts are for the four pontoon boats?
The four boat lifts are for four community pontoon boats.
That was the biggest question. And the four units that are shown were previously approved in a revised site plan?
Yes.
Okay. I wouldn't worry that.
The concern that I was made aware of was for power boats. Now, I guess a pontoon boat is, by its nature, a power boat because it has a motor. And there was some concern that the conditions that that were placed on the project precluded power boats.
The condition was motorized boats be limited, not exceed four pontoon type.
Right. So they're in conformance with the requirement, and this is simply redoing the Marina Act to make it more accommodating for the non-power boats as well, right?
The biggest question we had, we just weren't sure that the boat list for the pontoon boats,
right,
make sure that part is clear.
Right. Right.
And these aren't for private slips. They'll be operated by the HOA, and they'll be community boats.
Okay, and they're not private slips. They're not slips that are for sale.
That's correct.
Okay, so no one is buying the slips. They're there for the use of everyone in the community.
Consistent with the original project conditions.
Okay, just wanted to make sure, get that on the record, because I think that was the concern that some folks had, and I appreciate you being here to clear all that up.
We've had several issues where there was approved marinas, and the marinas were a certain number of spaces, and it got to the point of only a certain number of the homeowners were interested in the spaces or the slips. They would basically sort of sell these slips to people from outside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And created some conflict.
And that was really the issue, and that we just wanted to clarify and get on the record that wasn't the intent or that's not what's going to be happening here.
That's correct, sir.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Chairman, I would still like, without creating any undue delay for the applicant, I'd like to defer this just so we could make sure that we're where we need to be with.
Well,
counsel.
I think I think it's a good idea.
And
not
the minutes of the meeting.
Just to make sure, and this really has less to do with your application than it does with all the other things that we do. We just want to make sure that we're consistent in the way we address it. So we'll take a little extra time, which I don't think is going to impact you. If you don't mind, go ahead.
That's what I'd like to.
Mr. Smith, before you make a motion, I have a question concerning the boat ramp. I heard the testimony about it being used by the fire company for rescue purposes, but is the intent also for the use of the community members to launch their own personal craft?
That's not the primary purpose. Again, we're not providing any parking for boats and trailers there. So if a community member were to use it, they would be putting their boat in the water and they would have to take their trailer, and there's no parking for any boat and trailers, just vehicles in that area.
I think.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Tom Natale Jr., representative for Natale Communities. The boat ramp's sole purpose is for the fire department's use and to put the pontoons in and out and for any required maintenance. The homeowners will not be using it for jet skis or whatever small craft that they have. They will be going to Holst Landing to put their boat in.
Is there something in the HOA regulations or something to that effect? I mean, is that I know I'm hearing you tell us that.
Yeah.
What we're concerned about is that in actuality, if there's nothing that specifically prohibits them from doing that, that they'll just go ahead and do it.
I thought that was covered under the condition of approval.
I believe that jet skis, there was a prohibition of that.
I think it prohibited us, the condition prohibited us to use it for anything other than the fire department and the community pontoon.
I'm thinking so too. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, the primary boat use was kayaks and canoes, and the other only motorized boats were the pontoon boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
That's the way it stays.
We should be good.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Should be fine.
Okay. And if no one else has any questions, let's say to without any creating any undue delay, I'd just like to make sure that we get a concise feeling as we move forward in ruling on this matter. So, Mr. Chairman, regarding this request for preliminary site plan approval by Bay Forest Club MRRPC, my motion is for deferral at this time.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on Bay Forest Club MRRPC preliminary site plan phase 5.2 Marina. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Mount Calvary Pentecostal Church of Slaughter Neck Incorporated preliminary site plan, Slaughter Neck Road.
Now, this is an application for a preliminary site plan for a 4,900 square foot pole building to be used as a church. The site contains 1.71 acres and is zoned GR, general residential. Setbacks meet the minimum requirements of the zoning code. The 40 parking spaces are proposed. Parking area is proposed to be gravel. The site will be served by on-site septic and well. The site is not located in a flood zone, and there are not any wetlands on the site. But if preliminary approval is granted, final approval could be subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals. And you were provided previously with a copy of the site plan. That's all I have.
Okay.
Anybody doesn't have any questions? I have a question.
All right, sir.
Mr. Chairman, considering Mount Calvary Pentecostal Church of Slaughter Neck, Inc., preliminary site plan on Slaughter Neck Road, my motion is for approval with that and final approval could be subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve Mount Calvary Pentecostal Church of Slaughter Neck Incorporated. Preliminary site plan on Slaughter Neck Road as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all other permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Dan Sander, 3 lots and a 50-foot right-of-way on Road 280B.
Gentlemen, you were provided a copy of the sketch drawing for this application. It's a request to subdivide a 5.73-acre parcel into 3 lots with access from a 50-foot right-of-way. Two of the lots will be a minimum of 1 acre, and the other will be 3 acres. The owner is proposing to extend an existing 50-foot right-of-way to serve as access to the proposed lots. And if the request is approved, this would make 4 lots having access from the right-of-way. And typically, the commission allows a maximum of 3 lots without going through a major subdivision process. The commission is favorable toward this request. You could approve 2 lots only, since this is already there is already a lot with access from the right of way, and that's all I have.
All right.
So, Mr. Lank, based on our normal business practices, if there's going to be 4 lots on right of way, we require a public hearing.
Typically, the commission, and as far as a minor application from one parcel, only gives consideration to a maximum of 3. For 4, it has to go through the public hearing process.
And the owner of the property is aware of that? That we might only approve 2?
I haven't talked to them directly since they applied. I don't know if Shane has. Shane's out, so I can't respond to that question.
But in order for us to remain consistent with our normal procedure, we'd have just approved 2 lots.
If it's 4, it should be a major subdivision because there's a requirement with 4 to have an improved rate.
Right.
So that's the reason we limit it to a max to exceed 3 total.
So I, as part of my motion, I could state that if they want four lots having access off of that right away, that they need to apply for a major subdivision and have a second part that I would approve two lots.
You should say that two-part first, and then if there exceeds three total, then they have to go through a public hearing as a major. They could always come back and apply for the last, the additional lot. And to do that, they may apply, they may just come back in with more, because that's where the biggest parcel is to the rear.
But if they did that, they had to be a subject to a ma,
It would be subject to a public hearing anyway.
But we're creating the third lot anyways, aren't we?
You would basically end up with
six acres.
A lot.
What's that?
You would end up basically with a lot in the front. And the third lot, the last lot's going to be the residual land.
It was 6 acres.
No, it's three.
Did you already have a
oh, five, five,
five, 5.73.
One lot that already exists in the center. Can't read the number, but where that 1 acre lot is, that has access to this right of way. And it's in the center, so there'd be a lot in the front, and the residual land would be the rest. Based on the way you operate on the three lot rule.
So should I make two motions, Mr. Robertson? One saying denying the request for three lots to be created from here, and having a second motion saying that I would approve two lots or just turn it down?
Up to you. I think you can do.
Because if they just want two lots, then would they come before us again?
It would if you deny.
Yeah, maybe it's clean. It's just to deny it, and then if they want to do the two lots, they can come back with
come
that
back
for the
and
concept.
Show us how they're going to be shaped.
That's right. Yeah.
It's easier for me to make a motion that way, too.
Yeah. Just it'll be easier to track through.
Yes.
No, but it could be denied a request that's submitted, and major subdivision will be required because it creates more lots.
Right.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, concerning Dan Sandler's request for three lots in 50-foot right-of-way off of Road 280B, my motion is for denial as submitted, and with a further stipulation, if the owner would like to pursue the three lots off of the three additional lots off this right-of-way, that it should apply for a major subdivision.
Second.
Say that again.
Yes. I'm denying it.
You're denying
I'm denying the request as stated, as submitted, with a stipulation that if they would like to pursue the additional three lots off of this right-of-way, that they would have to apply for a major subdivision.
So you're just denying it and saying they need to apply for a major subdivision?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So you're denying it, submitted, and
oh, I thought I heard two motions in there. I thought
no.
I heard you were denying something
no,
and approving
was,
something
was,
else.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay. That was a notation.
Okay. All right.
And noted that a major subdivision is required.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to deny three lots on a 50-foot right-of-way on Road 280B for Dan Sander with the notation that it could come back as a major subdivision. Fair enough. All that in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Stephen Wimbrough, lot on a 50-foot easement, Delaware, Maryland state line.
You've already received a copy of the sketch drawing. This is a request to create a lot with access from an existing 50-foot easement. Requested approved. This will be the third lot having access from the easement. Requested approved as submitted, it should be stipulated that any further subdivision of the property will require an application for a major subdivision, and that's all that.
So this is essentially, we're granting, we're being asked to allow this lot to be created on a 50-foot easement that actually leads not to a state road, it leads to the state line.
It leads to Noble Road.
Which is in Maryland.
In Maryland.
Which is in Maryland.
See that too often.
No, this is that's why I'm calling attention to it. This
is
we had one there before near Laurel.
Yeah.
Toward
yeah.
Sharp
County. Yeah, I know.
And the easement was granted by Caroline County.
Yeah, which is interesting. The easement was granted by Caroline County, Maryland.
Right.
So.
What am I having there?
I'm good. Oh no, I'm good with it. I just thought it was worth. I just thought it was worth pointing out, just because it's kind of unique. We don't get the.
We get the tax and they get the traffic.
Yeah,
we can't get any better.
I was
going to
say
that.
We can't possibly do any better. Yeah. That's true. All right, I think
they try and annex it in the state of Maryland.
No, yeah. Well, we're not going to let them
do that. No, they've got too many troubles. They got more than we do.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chairman, regarding this request by Stephen Wimbro, my motion is favorable for him to create a lot on a 50-foot easement that is an existing easement, with a stipulation that any further subdivision of the property would require an application for a major subdivision.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve a lot on a 50-foot easement on the Delaware, Maryland state line for Stephen Wimbro. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Okay, gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening. Referring back to our public hearings, our first public hearing was conditional use number 2002, Beach Bum Distilling.
Commissioners, if we could on this one, the use was straightforward, and I don't know if there's objections to it, but because it's a little bit different in that it's part of an overall site and there's some parking things just to be clarified. I don't want to hold things up, but I think this one just to get it straightened out, if you don't mind deferring on that. Mr. Burton, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't want to, you know, telegraph one way or the other which way it's going to go, but if you're going to make a motion for approval,
get it right.
Things that need to be worked out, yeah.
I agree. Mr. Chairman, considering CU 2002 Beach Bum Distillery, my motion is for deferral for further consideration.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve or to defer action on conditional use number 2002 Beach Bum Distilling. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was conditional use number 2003 Thomas E. Lowe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And unless there's any discussion on this, I've put together a motion that I'd like to read into the record. Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use number 2003 for Thomas E. Lowe for a conditional use for a retail store based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. Those reasons being, one, although the conditional use is identified as a retail store, the basic use is intended to be as a store selling home and garden related products with baked goods, pottery, and other products that are related to the home and garden. Two, the underlying zoning for the property is AR1, which is the county's agricultural zone. The proposed use for the sale of home and garden related products is consistent with that underlying zoning. Three, the use is consistent with other similar small-scale commercial activities that are within 1 mile of the site, as stated by the applicant, including Bennett's Orchard, Parsons Produce, other produce stands, a country store, and a lawnmower repair shop. Four, there are currently agricultural uses on the property, including greenhouses and other similar uses. This proposed conditional use will be a reasonable extension of the existing use, and it is consistent with the existing uses on the property. Five, the proposed use promotes local agriculture and local business. Additionally, it is consistent with a comprehensive development plan in this regard. Six, the proposed use will not adversely affect area roadways, adjacent properties, or the community. Seven, there were no parties that appeared in opposition to this application. This recommendation for approval is, however, subject to the following conditions, them being A, although the conditional use is for retail sales in general, a majority of the products to be sold on the premises must be related to home and garden and baked goods, as was proposed by the applicant. B, there shall be one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side, which shall be permitted on the premises. C, there shall be adequate parking on the site, and the parking shall comply with the Sussex County Zoning Code parking requirements. D, any and all dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighboring properties and roadways. E, any security lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. F, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements regarding entrances to the property. G, the hours of operation shall be from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Mondays through Saturdays and from 12 noon until 4 p.m. on Sundays. H, the use, as stated by the applicant, shall be seasonal, being open between April 1 and December 31 of each year. And lastly, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
It's It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2003 Thomas E. Lowe for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was change of zone number 1762, Hale Trailer Brake and Wheel.
Mr. Chairman, if there is no objection from my fellow commissioners, I have a motion to approve this application. Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change of zone 1762 for Hale Trailer Brake and Wheel for a change in zone from AR1 to CR1 based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the site is located along U.S. Route 13, Sussex Highway, north of Dalmore, in an area that has developed to include commercial and light industrial zoning. This location, with approximately 1,721 feet of frontage along U.S. Route 13, is appropriate for CR1 zoning. Two, the site is next to the applicant's current operations and will allow for the applicant's expansion of its business. Three, the proposed use will not adversely affect neighboring or adjacent properties or roadways. Four, the applicant will be required to meet or exceed all DLDOT requirements. Five, CR1 zoning is appropriate since the county zoning code states that the purpose of such zoning is to provide for a wide variety of commercial and service activities generally serving a wide area, and that such uses should be located along existing major thoroughfares where a general mixture of commercial and service activities now exist. In this case, the rezoning along U.S. Route 13 falls within the stated purposes of the CR1 district. Six, the site is partially within the highway commercial area according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. CR1 zoning is consistent with this highway commercial designation. Although the remainder of the property is identified as being within the low density area according to the plan, is it appropriate to rezone the entire parcel to CR1 consistent with the highway commercial so that the entire parcel falls under one single zoning classification? And seven, no parties appeared in opposition, and those that did testify were in favor.
I second that motion. So moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1762, Hale Trail Brake and Wheel, for the reasons stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Lank, let the record reflect that the motion carried 4-0 with the chairman abstaining because he did not participate in the public hearing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And that completes our agenda for the evening. Mr. Lank, everything else would go to the order.
I hope everyone has a safe and glorious Thanksgiving holiday.
Good.
We don't meet again until the 11th of December, I believe.
Wow, 11th of December.
And Mr. Chairman, what's the status of our calendar for 2015?
I've been meeting with Todd and we to do all the scheduling. Haven't got the dates in front of me, but we're looking at really doing the first 2 months so we can get the approval and then come in with a probably in 2 or 6 months or an annual the rest of the year. So I know that Mr. Ross isn't going to be available in January, I believe.
The last meeting in December and the two meetings in January.
Last meeting in December and the two meetings in January. Okay.
Wife and I are taking an extended vacation.
Oh, no problem. Good for you.
Which country are you visiting this time?
Malaysia.
Malaysia.
Small flight. We're not driving. We're
swimming.
Yeah. Got your medical airlift insurance paid for?
You know, my wife put it on my credit card, so in case it crashed and she survived, she would get double indemnity. So, yeah.
Smart one.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
Okay, now for the $64 and the GE toaster, who starred in the movie by the same name, Double Indemnity?
Oh, I know that, I think.
Grace Kelly?
Oh, what's the guy's? It's the guy from My Three Sons.
That's Fred McMurray.
Yeah, that's right, Fred McMurray.
You stand in your
that? The young guy man. Knows the whole story.
I was well.
That's nothing to be proud of. Okay.
Thank you, Rudy.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Steve Dell. My name.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm with Barry. That's one on the bridge.
What was that?
Oh, yeah.
We had no.
Charlie used to. You did, yeah.
Hey, Don, I thought I wasn't sure if it was next
sometime ago.
Come back later.